everyone, welcome back to the Brigade of Imbeciles podcast. We're back to our semi-regular programming where we're going to be talking a bit more about each episode. Today we'll be looking at episode 6, The Art of Fuckery.
And here's a sneak peek from today's episode.
Wah, 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 wah.
Fuck.
Edward is literally in the same spot where he watched the and nursed him back to life 2 weeks ago. You know, it's a significant place, and you can see him staring at Steed's bed and kind of like zoned out because he has to psych himself up to kill the man that he loves. So episode 6 has like my favorite opening, I think, because it's so like whimsical and romantic, the way that the colors...
It's almost like a fairy tale in a way.
Yeah, like, I mean, the colors are kind of like yellowish, orangey, but it doesn't scream, you know, romance, but just the first shot is kind of like a low angle of the revenge sailing on the ocean, and we have like the tinkling bells of the music, and then we see, you know, Ed and Steed laughing together with their legs hanging off the side of the ship,
living their best life.
Yeah, and it's just, it would be so romantic if it wasn't Izzy
narrating and just being a sour little puss.
Yeah, exactly, like being really angry and bitter.
Even like in the wide shot of the crew, like just happily, like, you know, spending time together, we see Izzy at the back just being grumpy and being sour.
It punches into Izzy as he ruminates on the fact that Edward is kind of falling in love or being seduced by Steed. And then we go into the famous moonlight sword scene, which David Jenkins, the
sex scene,
the creator, has confirmed that it was kind of like a replacement sex scene.
Yeah, there's like a lot of tension there.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And it's basically how, like, Edward is flirting with Steed in this scene.
Well, Ed's trying to teach Steed how to be like a true pirate, right? And he's teaching him some sword fighting. And he kind of like slaps Steed on the butt with his sword.
Yeah, which
sword.
Is really funny because, you know, at the end of the episode when Izzy challenges Steed, Steed thinks that slapping your opponent on the ass is actually a normal thing.
It's an actual move.
And he slaps Izzy on the ass. And he goes, haha!
So they're kind of just like in this strange consensual act of stabbing where Ed says, like, you know, run me through, like, stab me.
Of course, that foreshadows the end of the episode when Steed manages to get Izzy's sword on the left side of his body, which is where all the unimportant parts of the body are, in Edward's words. And as we all know, the heart is on the left side of the body, so Edward thinks that the heart isn't an important part.
Ooh,
of the body.
That's a good point, yeah.
And he, you know, let his heart go into the ocean.
Oh, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Too triggering for now. Okay, so we're back here in this scene, and of course we have Izzy somehow like just watching over them and like listening.
I don't think he's watching. He's like kind of like spying on them.
Yeah,
he's hiding behind the mast,
just hiding and listening in to hear what they're doing. And of course he reacts in like pure disgust
because he thinks that they're having sex.
Yeah,
and he's like more horrified than disgusted.
Yeah, because the sounds that they were making, like,
yeah. And he, because he's obviously, everybody knows he's desperately in love with Edward, so he's very jealous.
Mm-hmm. And in a way, David has also like confirmed this, right? Because David said that Izzy is like a jilted spouse.
Exactly. So for this episode, the opening title is the title against the full moon, which is interesting because in episode 4, which is the first day Edward's crew comes on board the Revenge, that was the day of a full moon. And then Izzy says in this episode that it's been almost a fortnight since Edward came on board the Revenge. So we know that there really should not be a full moon. But we do see the full moon again multiple times in this episode.
So the idea of the fuckery is a recurring theme throughout the series, right? Like the idea of the use of theatrics. And in fact, this is kind of like the first time we see... I'm not too sure if it's the first pirate stereotype, but something that stood out to me is the idea of like the haunted pirate ship stereotype which we're seeing here. Yeah, to me that was interesting because I remember that, you know, David was saying that when they were writing this script, they didn't really want to go into like explicit pirate stereotypes, but here we see one that is quite far and well used.
This episode we also see how creative and different the crew of the Revenge is. You can see like their creativity, their excitement in staging a fuckery, and how they use their brains instead of their brawn. I mean, they don't really have brawn. to use the enemy's fear against them, as Blackbeard
said. Yeah, we've got like sweet singing. We've got everyone like in different stages of acting. Even Jim is suggesting scenes that they could perform for this fuckery.
And the whole idea of a fuckery, like you could see, that's how Edward wanted to impress Steed and he succeeded at it. And then on the flip side, pulling off his own fuckery is how Steed wanted to impress Ed. And this is kind of reminiscent to how Steed in episode 7 wanted to impress Edward with the treasure hunt, right? We see that kind of the mm-hmm. same kind of need, like desperate need to get Edward interested, and how he gets the crew to like, you know, get into shape and get their shit together because he needs to pull off a fuckery. He needs
just
to pull off
Edward.
A treasure hunt. And he's like, he's so pissed off when Lucius passes out because his finger is like throbbing and swollen. And he's like, 20 minute break, like a taut 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's so high strung just to impress Ed.
Yeah, and then he like looks out the window and it's like being so dramatic just because he can't think of an idea. And nobody's like cooperating with him.
Yeah, because his muse has left.
Yeah, and then we see Izzy unknowingly being a wingman for Edward and being like, you know, he adores you, and you see Steed's reaction to that and he's so happy and
he's so motivated by that.
It adds a spring to his step knowing that Edward adores him.
Unfortunately, I think Steed's fuckery was a little bit too successful because it really triggered a lot of Blackbeard's history and his PTSD.
Yeah, his trauma from his abusive childhood and who really killed his father.
Yeah, because at the start, we remember that Blackbeard was telling the story about how the Kraken was the one who killed his pa. But we soon find out that actually, you know, it wasn't the Kraken and it was actually Blackbeard. With Blackbeard, we actually see him needing to psych himself up to kill Steed, you know, needing to be motivated by Izzy, Ivan and Fang to kill Steed.
This episode, like, the whole thing about Edward having to kill Steed and, you know, being guilt-tripped into doing it by Izzy is really, it's a really interesting aspect of this, of their relationship or mm-hmm. of Edward's turmoil. Because we see, like, obviously Blackbeard does not want to kill Steed and he feels like he doesn't have a choice but to kill Steed because of Izzy. And when Edward is shown to Steed's quarters by Frenchie, because Steed said that would be the perfect place for him to witness what happens during the fuckery, Edward is literally in the same spot where he watched Steed and nursed him back to life 2 weeks ago. You know, it's a significant place, and you can see him staring at Steed's bed and kind of like zoned out because he has to psych himself up to kill the man that he loves.
Yeah, the bedroom is such like a vulnerable space for Steed, right? Because that's when Edward sees him.
For the very first time. That's where they had their introduction. Yeah. Okay, not for the very first time,
yeah,
but
that's where they had their introduction.
Yeah, that's where Steed like poured his heart out to Edward unknowingly because he was unconscious and just talking in his sleep.
Yeah, and now in this same space with all these memories, he has to kill Steed, you know, and he like clutches the knife so tightly, trying to bring himself to do it. I really love the scene where you see Blackbeard just like falling on his knees because he's been triggered by the Kraken. I think we've seen a lot of people online saying that it was a very difficult scene to watch just because of the emotion and because of his reaction to this trigger and how it brings out a bit of that trauma from his past.
A lot of the trauma from his past.
For me, when I watch that scene, it really reminds me of how Blackbeard's insecurities are confirmed in a way. In episode 4, he said that, you know, people aren't even scared of like him anymore. They just need to see the flag and the ship and they're terrified. And in this case, like, Blackbeard is literally on his knees.
He's so vulnerable.
Vulnerable, he's, like, in pain, he's crying out. And yet, these Nordic merchants were just so terrified. And even though he literally was looking like a shell of himself.
Yeah, they saw him and they immediately ran away when they were ready to fight, you know, Steed and his crew, like, 1 second before.
Yeah, that to me is, like, really, really painful, right? Because you see, the way that the world is looking at Blackbeard is so different from the Blackbeard that we have been seeing throughout the past few episodes, or the little glimpses that we see of him.
And that brings us to the bathtub scene. People online have been, you know, comparing that to kind of a confessional.
Yeah, because of the way that the scene has been set up, right?
Yeah, the way that it's shot and the way that the use of reflections and the use of light as well.
And of course, Ed has Steed's little golden robe snuggled up with him in the bathtub as he's being his most open and most vulnerable to Steed.
Yeah, he's using the robe as a blanket, literally as an emotional blanket.
Yeah, emotional support blanket.
Yeah, he's clinging onto it so tightly. And then Steed, you know, like breaks down the door, sounds like. You know, the audio design, it sounds like he breaks down the door in order to get in to see if Edward is okay or see if Edward needs help.
And I love how Edward reveals that he actually hasn't killed a man since killing his father. It's so unlike what we would think of for Blackbeard, right?
Yeah, the most fearsome pirate in the world.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to send Steed to doggy heaven.
Doggy heaven? Is that a pirate term? But yeah, this scene really, you know, brings up the dynamic between them. It opens up a whole new avenue in their relationship because, you know, Edward is finally opening up to Steed.
The way that Steed, like, forgives him after Ed says that he was actually about to kill him is just so characteristic of Steed being such, like, a naturally empathetic person.
Yeah, he's very, very forgiving to everybody other than Izzy, basically.
Yeah, he just hates Izzy for some reason.
Yeah. For some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, and Steed is just so emotionally supportive. Like, even from episode 5, you can see how much he tries to, you know, take into account Edward's emotions and his mental state. And on one hand, you know that, you know, Steed may be saying, you know, I forgive you because Edward is a scary pirate-ish, but on the other hand, you know that it's because Edward is his friend and he means a lot to him. And we know from episode 5 that Edward knows that he's in love with Steed. So this conversation really solidifies Ed and Steed's friendship, and it means a lot to Ed for Steed to be so forgiving and so empathetic and to understand his trauma and where he comes from.
Yeah, and to accept him in spite of all that.
So this bathtub scene ends in forgiveness and in friendship, and they're now on the same level of understanding because they talked it through as a crew. And the next shot, we see Ed and Steed walking side by side out on deck, and they're walking over this kind of yin-yang piece. Pisces?
Yin-yang symbol on the deck that has like two fishes, kind of almost like a Pisces symbol intertwining with each other.
Yeah, which symbolizes balance. We mentioned this in Stella's interview as well about balance between Steed and Ed and how they what they bring out in each other.
Yeah, and this balance is like immediately disrupted when Izzy arrives, because Izzy is being like the grumpiest, most jilted spouse that you can ever find.
So antagonistic.
Izzy has an undeniable influence over Blackbeard and over Edward, right? The way that even just suggesting that he should kill Steed motivates Edward to do it, even though he doesn't want to. There has to be a lot of history between them for Ed to be so easily convinced by Izzy.
The dynamic between Izzy and Edward is so unique because, like, you see Izzy being really uncomfortable when Fang and Ivan question the plan in the beginning of the episode about how, or like when Blackbeard is telling like the ghost stories and stuff, and they're like, you know, is the plan still going on? And Izzy is like, he promised me that he would kill Steed. It's really giving jilted spouse vibes.
It's giving jealous vibes.
Both of them have influences on each other, but it's very complicated, it's very complex.
Almost toxic in a way.
Oh, for sure, it's definitely toxic because, you know, Izzy is like the definition of toxic masculinity next to CJ. And these two have such bad influences on Edward.
They bring out the Blackbeard side of Edward that clearly Edward is trying to shed.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing about Izzy as well is that he has a strange inability to use his environment to his advantage, because a lot of external factors kind of like fuck Izzy over, right? When we see that he's unable to identify the Frankfurter clouds as a sign for the incoming fog, and even when he's like fighting Steed, when Steed looks around his environment and takes the gunpowder to throw at Izzy, Izzy's like a little bit confused, a little bit dazed, and also Izzy is foiled by the cherry wood mast.
The finest cherry wood from Brazil.
Which he doesn't take into account when he's stabbing Steed.
Yeah, that's interesting that the way that you phrase that, he is foiled by the mast because he's too busy trying to stab Steed. That results in his downfall because the mast is the thing that breaks his sword. And it's really interesting because it seems like it's kind of like Izzy has blinders on. He doesn't think ahead. He only has one goal and he tries his darndest, doesn't take into account the consequences of that. The same thing can be said for, you know, when he brings the British to get rid of Steed. Like, what effect that has an impact that has on
Edward. Like what you said about having the blinders on, I feel that Izzy is a guy that's just ruled by, you know, his wants and his desires and his emotions. And that's why we often see him so angry and like charged, like supercharged. And we don't really see a logical side of Izzy where he thinks through things. In a way, he just wants Edward to be Blackbeard, and that's all. That's his motivation.
Yeah, and when he did manage to get Edward to change back into Blackbeard, he created the Kraken instead, and that resulted in him getting his toe cut off. Same can be said for the first time he meets Steed in episode 2 in the forest or the island, where Steed uses the art of fuckery and convinces Izzy, or makes him hesitate when he says that, you know, there are ghosts in the forest. Izzy's hesitation was his downfall. Even though he's such a skilled swordsman, he fails to take into account his environment, and that causes him to fail.
Yeah, with the solidifying of Blackbeard and Steed's friendship and the annexation of Izzy, I think it really pushes the story forward, because now we get to see what Izzy is going to do with being sidelined by Edward.
And we can also see Steed and Ed finally have their relationship moving forward now that Izzy is out of the picture. This episode also highlights a lot of Ed's trauma and his childhood and his motivations and how complex he is as a character and the duality of his character, basically.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like, from such a young age, you believe that you were the Kraken that killed your pa, and how that would affect how you see yourself for the rest of your life? It definitely motivates him to be Blackbeard
to kind of dissociate.
Yeah, to kind of dissociate and to be someone that he thinks he is, but actually everyone else can see a different side of him when they look very closely.
Yeah, and right now Steed is the only one who is looking closely and is bothering to look closely.
And now, some fun facts.
So Con O'Neill, who plays Izzy, he practiced a lot for the sword fight, apparently. And you can see a lot of behind the scenes. I think it was either on Alex Sherman's Instagram or on Samba Shoot's Instagram. But yeah, you can see him, like, you know, practicing on the Warner Brothers lot and just pretty much everywhere. Like, he would be practicing in his free time because he really wanted to get it right, and he wanted it to look pretty much effortless, since Izzy is a known swordsman and is apparently really good at it. And there's also not really a deleted scene, but they ended the romantic sword fight in the moonlight scene before Steed could help Edward to the captain's quarters. And there is actually a photo from Aaron Epstein that depicted Edward with his arm around Steed as they hobble over to the captain's quarters because Edward has been stabbed in the liver. So I would love to see, you know, the deleted scenes and the deleted shots from that scene. It's a really romantic photo. A cute little detail from the fuckery is that Wee John's hair was actually designed to look like cat ears. So if you look closely, you can see that his hair has been twirled into two cat ears, and it's really cute. I think Christian Nairn, who plays Wee John, mentioned that that was his favorite part of the episode. Another interesting detail is that Izzy's necktie actually has an emerald ring on it, and Con O'Neill confirmed it in a tweet. So people have been talking about how that could possibly be a hint towards Izzy's past and how he may have lost a love. Maybe that's why he's so grumpy. And some improv facts. So during the Izzy and Steed sword fight, you can see Jim in the back, you know, dodging back and forth because they're trying to show Steed some moves so he can mimic them and actually get, you know, a shot at Izzy. But obviously Steed just whacks Izzy in the ass or something. And also Samba mentioned on his Twitter that it was fun for him to hit Con in the head at least 6 times with the, what, pickle sandwich?
A pickle sandwich wrapped in paper. Moving on back to our favorite line segment from episode 6. I think for me, it really has to be the part where they are committing a piece of their beloved Lucius to the sea, and Fang just goes, "Begone, you foul thing!
Begone, you foul thing!"
So my favorite line is when Steed storms into his captain's quarters after Lucius passes out, and he pours himself a whiskey and looks very dramatically out into the ocean, and he says, "Muse, why have you forsaken me?
Muse, why have you forsaken me?"
So that's all we have time for today. We hope that you enjoyed our little summary and wrap up of episode 6, The Art of Fuckery. Join us next week where we'll be looking at episode 7, This Is Happening. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.